Blog Talk Radio.
Life seems to crush your dreams, so find your balance for all your needs. A little work, some family fun. Find your love, keep your life on the run. Told you how the story goes, so write your own script before you grow old. Live your life, laugh out loud. Own who you are, stand up proud. You
Welcome to the Star Chamber Show live podcast. It is a Thursday evening. Yes, this week we are doing the show on a Thursday evening. I'll explain why in a moment, but this is episode number 406 for those of you keeping score. And this is your trusty host, Stephen Zimmer, broadcasting to you live out of Lexington, Kentucky. Yes, the heart of the bluegrass. It is a great Thursday evening. Had to catch myself a little bit there, but great to be with you all. Chat room is open, and award-winning author and screenwriter Carol Preflatish is first in the chat room. Hello, Carol. Great to hear about your new book project, too, by the way. I saw those posts go up the past day or so, and so the chat room is open. Just go ahead and refresh the page if you have a little bit of trouble logging in. Sometimes it gets a little finicky. And joining me tonight in a co-hosting chair, as it were, is the lovely, the vivacious, the loquacious Holly Phillippe. But she's not quite with us just yet. She's running just a couple of minutes behind. So I've got the opening duties. And, yes, we've got a great show for you tonight. Got a fantastic guest, somebody I just think is absolutely awesome. just comes up with all kinds of cool stuff. And we're going to be talking a lot tonight with him about the topic of book marketing, and specifically about a new book project that he has in that area. But we'll get to that in a bit. That's just a little teaser for you at the moment. The Star Chamber Show is affiliated with the Imaginarium Convention now in its 11th year. And, of course, we always give you the latest updates to keep you up to date on all the happenings and developments with the convention. First of all, I will tell you, though, the past week, we got the whole household got COVID. Yes, everybody got diagnosed with COVID at the end of last week. We had definitely a household full of very sick people. Some of us have been coming back to varying degrees. Of course, Holly, it hits harder than most because of some of her pre-existing conditions. So, she's kind of lagging behind us a little bit. But we're coming back out of it, and I should be okay to actually finally go out and about tomorrow. So, as far as, like, get out of the house and, be exposed to people. So, I should be in the clear as of tomorrow. So, but yes, that's the reason we had to hold off for a day this week because, just a little too much on everything. And we want to give everybody a day to clear and to make sure that we gave you all a good show because we never want to give you anything less than our best. And so that's the reason for the slight delay. But we still got a lot done. Yeah, there's still things we can accomplish for the convention. So I will give you a couple of updates and some really, really good ones. We had four new pieces of programming added to the Imaginarium 2024 programming, three panels and one new workshop, and then we also had a new panelist just announced. And as far as the new panel additions, these are some pretty good ones, and especially if you are interested in cover art and cover art design, because we have both a workshop and a new panel in that area. But as far as the panels go, we have cover critiques. The moderator for this is Jake Clark, absolutely phenomenal cover designer and artist. And attendees are asked to bring their book cover designs, and they will receive detailed professional critiques from skilled cover designers, and there will also be some critiques given on already selected published works. So that's going to be a great panel for you to delve into the do's and don'ts of good cover design. And if you'd like, you could get your own cover work critiqued by some definitely top-tier pros. So that's going to be a great opportunity for attendees. Then we also, and this is one of two panels so far we have on this topic, because it is a topic of great concern to all creatives, whether they are writers, filmmakers, game designers, I mean, you name it. I mean, it's going to affect everybody. But it's AI ethics across all mediums. The moderator for this one is also going to be Ren Melian. Ren Melian has a great command of the current AI issues, and is going to be a phenomenal moderator. And this is going to be an overall discussion of how we can navigate, creatively protect our work and jobs in an AI-heavy world, and the ethics of using AI across all mediums. It's going to be a very, very important discussion. A very timely discussion, and one you definitely don't want to miss. Then we also have a panel called It's All Horror, and moderated by the wonderful and great Donald R. Guillory. And he's going to be joined by S.A. Bradley and Brian Haas, and they're going to debate and discuss why so many films and TV shows fall under the umbrella of horror. That includes romance, comedies, drama, sci-fi, biopics, cartoons, action, and they're going to make a case for why it's all horror. So if you think that the horror genre is niche, you may find out that it's actually quite a broad umbrella, and that's going to be a heck of a good panel, I think. I think it's going to be a very insightful one, too. And as far as the workshops go, this one, again, as I told you, is going to be on cover art. Covers that click, and the moderator for the previous one, Jake Clark, will be the presenter on this one. And so you'll have a chance to learn from a professional cover designer what it takes to create a visually striking cover that will get clicks. And the workshop is going to be geared for all genres of writers. So, yes, we got a couple of phenomenal additions here of cover art, one in the area of AI and one in the area of a really intriguing one in the area of the horror genre, arguing how broad the horror genre actually is. So, yes, that's the new additions to programming. There's a lot more on the way. I've seen it getting up on the grid. It's just not fully confirmed yet, but there's quite a few new panels and workshops that have been going up there. So I should have a new batch to report to you next week. And then joining us at Imaginarium is the awesome Henry Vogel. And he happens to be also the brother of Barbara V. Evers, the award-winning author and editor, who, of course, is a Star Chamber show favorite, the convention favorite. He is her brother. It is cool because he's an author and comic creator, and he is quite prolific. He has 23 novels. He's working on his 24th, and I also think it's very interesting to point out that he is. This is an interesting fact about him. In 1984, he became the first online comic book pro, and that's back in the pre-internet days of Usenet. So, yeah, he's actually one of the pioneers of online comics, literally. And so you're definitely going to want to get some great stories from him. He's both, like I said, a comic creator and an author and just a great fellow, and we're looking forward to having him join us this summer at Imaginarium 2024. So great, great stuff coming. Yeah, we will have probably a few new folks announced in the next couple of days. So keep your eyes peeled. And also we are doing a bit of an appeal for Imaginarium individual patrons. It's a $75 one-time fee. You can use a logo if you like or our standard badge, but you do get recognized online. You do get recognized at opening ceremonies and at the awards banquet. And then also you are recognized in our digital and print programs. And it's definitely a wonderful, wonderful thing because it helps us to do a lot. We're always pursuing new potential big guests. We're always pursuing new potential special programming opportunities. So, yeah, when we do get a little bit of a boost from patrons and so forth, does help us to bring a little bit more into the event. So we are putting that out because we are having some interesting discussions with some really good potential guests, and it gives us a little more flexibility to say yes to some of those bigger guests when that comes in. So, yeah, I'm putting out a little bit of an appeal for individual patrons. And but hey, if you like our sponsor levels, and we've got them starting at just at $595 and up, and all of them have expo space included. Yeah, do take a look at those too. Those will definitely help us in a big way as far as the convention goes. Because we're getting ready to hit the overdrive. Because toward the end of this month, sometime toward the end of the month, I don't know the exact date, but we will have the full field of Imaginarium 2024 finalists announced. And as far as the Imagine Awards that is announced for that. And that's going to, of course, they all moved on to the juried phase of the awards. And things really, really heat up after that. So, yeah, the March to Imaginarium, as I like to call it. But good times. And I hope you all are doing very well here. I'm glad. Thank you for joining us on a non-traditional night. You know, usually we are on Wednesday, but again, we had to punt forward one day due to the household COVID attack we dealt with. So, but I'm hanging in here and definitely ready to go tonight and get into the discussion. But before we do bring our guest aboard, I do want to recognize the folks that brought you tonight's show, and that would be Sandy Lender, the Genre Blender, the one and only, who's really got a great BookTube channel going. While you're listening to the show tonight, go over to her YouTube channel and give it a subscribe and click that little bell for the notifications. She's always putting out content, great content, a lot of insights, she is an amazing writer, editor, and just knows her stuff and has a great command of all genres. I mean, she really is a very multi-genre savvy person. And so, yeah, you'll have a lot to get out of her BookTube channel. So I encourage you to go over there and add that. She is making some good headway with it. So, yeah, add yourself to the Sandy Says Read. That's right. Hashtag Sandy Says Read. And then also joining us tonight to bring you tonight's show are the fine folks at Per Bosfet Publications with Teely Harris, Marion Allen, and Sarah Marion, the literary triumvirate, as I like to call them. But first, we'll give you a little bit about Sandy, and then we'll give you a little bit about Per Bosfet, and then we'll bring you tonight's guest on. And by that time, I think Holly should be aboard. So here's Sandy.
February is the month of love, and author Sandy Lender has something cynical and satirical with just the right amount of romance to make you swoon. It's Vampire Satire, set in the Rocky Mountains in her Fairy Holidays series. Welcome to the Rose Chateau, where ghosts and vampires team up with fairies against trolls and monsters. Check out the crazy adventure of My Fairy Valentine from Sandy Lender, wherever fine books are sold, and fall in love with vampires again. And if you just want some romantic read recommendations this month, check out the Sandy Says Read BookTube channel on YouTube.
Thank you, Sandy. And again, hashtag Sandy Says Read. Yeah, don't forget that as well. Great hashtag, by the way. And so now we go over to Per Bosfet. Per Bosfet Publications is a small press based in the Louisville metro area, specializing in speculative fiction and other outside-the-box books. With 40 titles in print and ebook formats and a handful of audiobooks, Per Bosfet offers a little bit of everything. Follow the investigations of Private Eye David Blaze and M.B. Dabney's An Untidy Affair, a historical mystery set during the 1985 police bombing of the Move House in Philadelphia. Or join the psychic private investigator Alan Rodriguez in New Mexico in A Handful of Dirt by Janie Franz as he tries to clear an elderly man wrongfully accused of murder. You can find these titles and more at PerBosfetPublications.com, at Amazon, or you can find the press in person at In Conjunction in Indianapolis and Louisville's Imaginarium Convention in July and Prime Crime in Indianapolis in October. Per Bosfet Publications, where timeless tales unfold. Yeah, you can't go wrong with anything from that press. They are awesome, award-winning press, multi-genre press, fantastic. I mean, top-notch writers, editors, everything. I mean, they are just superb. Can't say enough good about them, and definitely honored to have them with us on the Star Chamber Show. So, yes, looking for Holly. Holly's not quite on. So, you know what we might have to do is we might have to bring off tonight's guest, folks, because I'm not going to delay tonight's guest because he's just fabulous. I think the world of him. And so, yes, I think I'm going to go ahead and bring on tonight's guest. What do you say, folks? What do you say? So, yes, he is dapper and debonair, and he is already a Star Chamber Show favorite. He will be making an Imaginarium appearance this summer, his debut at Imaginarium, in fact. His latest novel, Fiona's Guardians, is a great book about humans who work for a beautiful vampire named Fiona. And currently, the book was adapted by Artists Ensemble Theater for their Mysterious Journeys podcast, and a short film adaptation is currently in pre-production on it. He also has a brand new release called DIY Book Promo. So tonight, I'm glad and honored and thrilled to bring to you onto the show tonight the one, the only author and publicist, Dan Klefstad. And Dan, your mic should be on. There
he
is.
Steven, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
How
great.
Are you feeling, man? You feeling okay?
I'm better. I'm not 100%, but I'd say about 92.3%. Yeah, so we're almost
all
there.
Right. Okay.
But it's varying degrees of percentages in the household. But yeah, I'm definitely functioning and I'm clear and tested all right. So and now I can finally emerge and be in public again. So I'm not contagious. So that's good. But yeah, it was quite a week, to say the least. And yeah, I'm sure Holly will have a comment or two when she logs in here. She is coming, by the way. She was just scrambling to get ready
all
tonight,
right.
but she will be joining us in progress. But great to have you back on the show. I mean, you've been making a lot of waves. I mean, last time that you were on, we did a lot of discussion about your novel Fiona's Guardians, and it's continued to make great headway. I mean, last time you were on, we were talking a little bit about some of the ratings and so forth. But, I mean, now, I mean, you've got 46 ratings on Amazon with a 4.5 star cumulative and 67 ratings on Goodreads. So it looks like it's a yeah, the readers are responding for sure, and congratulations on that. Because, yeah, as you know, vampires are Holly's favorite topic. So I know she's going to tell you something about that too when she gets on. But it looks like it's going great. So,
it has been. It really has been. I've been, and I'm excited to know that I'll be bringing some copies of Fiona's Guardians with me when I appear in LaGrange at From the Ground Up bookstore. Of course, I'll
yes.
have copies of the brand new book as well, DIY Book Promo.
And speaking of the appearance in LaGrange, we just had Lynn Tencher on not too long ago talking about From the Ground Up books, and I encourage people to catch that episode. We actually got quite a lot covered in that one with Lynn. Good introduction to everything she's doing there. It's almost like the hub of a writing community that she's building there. But tell us when the signing is, the hours, and give us all that info.
Yeah. I will be there this Saturday, again, in downtown LaGrange, from noon to 3.
Noon to 3, folks. And LaGrange is not far at all from Louisville. It's a real easy drive from Lexington. If you're anywhere in this area, I mean, definitely encourage you to go. Great downtown, nice, great small town in kind of vibe with a train track that cuts right through the heart of downtown. It's pretty fun. And,
the trains
are
wild, man.
Yeah.
The trains are wild.
Yeah.
That is such a cool thing to see them slowly rolling by the window, you know, as you're sitting in a diner or whatever. And it's just the most unusual town and also the neatest town I've ever seen.
It is. It is a very special town. It's where, of course, the LaGrange Book Fair is with Tony Acree runs every year from Hydra Publications. It's a great place to be. And now that Lynn has this going with From the Ground Up Books, I mean, it's going to be a great center for writers and independent publishers and editors, everybody involved with the indie book scene. It's definitely going to be a hub, as I would call it. But yeah, I know you've you're familiar with the store, and but yeah, the appearance of you is gonna be not one to miss, because you got something for everybody now, because you've got a book that any vampire fan is a must have for one thing, and now you have a book that any writer of fiction or nonfiction can make use of. And I'm honored, because you mentioned that some of the inspiration for this new book actually gelled out of when we brought you aboard for the Imaginarium convention and the workshop that you came up with to do there, and this kind of set that in motion.
Actually, Stephen, 100% of the inspiration came from your invitation. I thought, I talked to my publisher. I said, now that I'm going to be speaking at the Imaginarium convention this July, I'm probably going to need to have a book about book marketing. So that's what I did. That's how it came together very quickly. In November and December, we were writing this. My publisher was doing the legwork to get it out, and it's been out for one day so far. It came out yesterday, and so, yeah, it's well-timed, I think.
Well, you already got a number one flag from Amazon, if I read your post correctly. You got a number one marker in one of the categories on sales already.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was awesome.
And still there. It's still number one. I'm holding on to that spot as long as I can.
They must have gotten hit with a lot of things, because I pre-ordered it. I pre-ordered the hard copy, and they still haven't shipped it yet, so hopefully that means that they got inundated with more orders than they planned on sending out, and they having to print a few up. I hope that.
You're absolutely right. I hope so too. And of course, for those who have a Kindle, for example, you can get it right away if you are itching to learn all my tools and tricks about book marketing.
Yeah, I want mine signed. So, like, technically, you could sign a Kindle, I guess, with a silver marker or something. But I do want to get this book signed from you. So I had to get the hard copy for sure. And I'm actually looking forward to reviewing it. Definitely going to get my thoughts on it on the show after I read it. I think it's invaluable. I mean, this is the area that's like. It's almost like a lot of writers look at marketing almost like alchemy in the Middle Ages. It's just this big mysterious thing, It's just the effort to try to turn lead into gold, as it were, and find that magic technique that works, or the approach, or the this, and so many sharks are in the water taking advantage of authors, and as far as marketing services and stuff like that, where authors can blow a lot of money, and that includes some of the big platforms themselves, and they'll hype their ads and this and that, and they're not always that effective, and a lot of authors end up losing a lot of money doing that. And yours, I mean, you can just see from the title, DIY Book Promo, you've got a lot of, you are savvy when it comes to this and finding ways not to fall in some of those pitfalls. But give us a little bit of overview. I know you're not going to give everything that's in the book itself, but give us a little overview about just the approach to the book, and maybe a little bit about some of the sections in it.
It's funny. It's not magic. It's not alchemy. It's just putting in whatever time you can put in to push your book out there, create awareness, and find your audience. So it starts with your book. It starts with a book that you believe in 100%. Because if you don't believe in it 100%, then a reviewer isn't going to believe it. Someone who is a book shopper isn't going to believe it as much. So if you believe in your book 100% and you know you've got something good and you've got a good review that you can share, then you really have the tools that you need to begin putting in the time. What I do is I write lots of emails to bookstores sharing, these are pitch letters. To get bookstores to carry my book, to have it on their shelves so that their customers can find it. And I've been able to get into bookstores with my previous novel, Fiona's Guardians. I've gotten into dozens of independent bookstores in the U.S. and several in the U.K. just by sending out, I'll admit, it's a lot. It was more than 2,000 emails initially for Fiona's Guardians. And I'm doing the same thing again with DIY book promo. And I'm hearing back from booksellers, independent booksellers, who are saying, yep, we're ordering it. When it comes in, we'll send you the picture that you wanted, because, Stephen, it's all about getting the photos or videos of a smiling bookseller holding your book. I mean, readers look to booksellers for recommendations. So having a photo like that or video is an extremely powerful tool in your toolkit as you go out and push your book and find your audience.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And, I mean, I love it when recently my new novel came out and I got a few photos sent to me by readers holding the cover and you know, the hard copy they got. And, yeah, it makes and you see it. I mean, the social media, people respond to it more than just the usual post. And, yeah, it definitely puts a personal side to it. And,
Yeah, and bonus points. Bonus points if you're able to get your book pictured with bookstore cats or a bookstore dog. I mean, the engagement on Instagram, Facebook, etc., is boffo. You cannot lose.
Yeah, the bookstore cat. Yes, does I don't know. Does Lynn have a bookstore cat? Or no, I can't remember whether we asked her that question or not.
I'm going to find out Saturday. Saturday when I'm there.
Well,
but
she
has some stuffed animals that are important to her. Some stuffed animals that she's been naming. So maybe I'll get my book nestled in among them. That'll be all right too.
Oh yes, absolutely, absolutely. But yeah, I mean, like you said, you know, it is not alchemy, but there. I mean, it is. It's something that just sucks up so much time and a lot of it ineffectively with a lot of authors. I mean, they really get taken down the rabbit hole in posting and really get frustrated and go out of pocket a lot. But this book, as I understand, is designed for authors that are not able to go out of pocket too much. So this is. If you are, you know, on a tight budget or, you know, and you're in a, you know, life happens kind of situation where you don't have a lot of extra to spend, this is the book for you, as I've read about it.
Yeah, I mean, we're authors, Stephen. We're supposed to be poor.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't afford to pay for promo. So this book is about just putting in the time, doing it yourself. And you will get results if you put in a set amount of time per day, including weekends. Now, of course, there are realities that we have to work with. Do you have a full-time job? Okay, well, can you afford 2 to 3 hours a day, including weekends, to go into a Facebook group, say, and that resonates with your genre and begin starting conversations with those folks? Do you have a couple hours a day to write to bookstores, or write to media organizations to pitch your book for an interview? Do you have time for that sort of thing? To write to bloggers and reviewers so you can get another really great review? Try to find, you know, a couple hours a day. And, of course, if you have a young child, if you have an ill parent, or if maybe you're coping with a chronic condition, maybe you can only devote 30 minutes a day. Well, 30 minutes a day is going to make a difference. You know, people are going to read your book. They're going to tell their friends and followers about your book. And, you know, the ripple effect will spread more slowly. But this isn't a race. I mean, you know, the only person you're competing against is yourself. You will find your audience. It may take a few months longer, or maybe even a year longer than you expected, to you know, hit your sales goal or that sort of thing. But you'll get there if you just put the time in every day.
Agreed, and that is solid advice. And on that note, we do have the wonderful Holly Phillippe is finally in the house. So let me bring her in.
Hello, Holly.
Holly, are you there?
I was I just scared my cat half to death. She was sitting here. I'm like, hello, Dad. She took off. But yeah, I made it. I'm glad to hear you, and I'm congrats on the book release.
Well, thank
Fantastic.
you.
You've got some great you've got some great tricks and tips to share with people. I appreciate that, and they do too. I mean, we all can definitely use it. And as you know, marketing is one of those things you've got to stay up on because it changes constantly. It's like an ever-revolving circle. What works now might not work, you know, a month down the road or whatever. You know, things change. And so, yeah, you got to stay with it. You got to be proactive, and you can't let things just sit.
And, you know, this brings up what you just said, Holly, brings up something else that I think about and try to impart in my book and in my speeches that I give. You have to be willing to pivot. You have to constantly be in a mindset that says, okay, how can I turn this thing into something else? And how can I, you know, build on the success that I have achieved already? And, yes, you're going to find that that things that you were doing for months aren't going to be as effective for whatever reason. So you have to kind of think again, you know, be imaginative, pivot, and try to find another avenue that you haven't thought of. So I often like to tell people, you know, don't think outside the box. Throw away the box and then come up with your own ideas about how best to tell the world about your book.
Right.
So in the book, do you have is that about largely mindset and then some specific approaches that you recommend, or is it kind of like a balance of those? How's the book structured?
Well, you'll find definitely specific things that I did that worked for me that I'm putting out there for you to try and to customize if you want, or just try it on, just copy it and see if it works. I would encourage you probably to customize it so for your own book and your own audience. I talk a lot about the constant willingness to adapt to find your audience, and also to think about getting your book adapted even. It's not as hard as you think. If you're only thinking about, oh, I've got to get my book turned into a film, or I've got to get my book turned into a streaming series, you're missing opportunities. The people who adapted my book for the first time were professional actors, the theater actors, who had a podcast that they started during COVID when all the theater companies were shut down. My guess is there's probably a theater company near you who has maybe a podcast. Maybe they'd be willing to take your book and stage of an adaptation of it. Who knows? There are things out there that you can do to get your work out there in a new medium, and that's extremely important because that's how you find new audiences.
Oh, absolutely, and strange things happen because like right now I've got a group of fellows that they're real good with 3D printing and things like that, and they're also gamers, and they've convinced me to work with them to develop one of my books into a tabletop RPG game, for instance. And so there's all
cool.
kinds of crazy stuff that can happen. And they're pretty gung ho about it, but you do have to think outside the box, and you'd be surprised at how many even filmmakers on the independent level, especially now with the technology getting to where indie films can have big league looks, how many filmmakers are looking to authors for some IP or to do adaptations and things like that. I'm seeing it more and more. So in the film side too.
You know what you just mentioned there. What you just mentioned there, working with a group of a role-playing group, gamers, that is the kind of thing that I'm thinking, oh, maybe I should try that. And that also gets to another aspect of the book's DIY book promo. I'm starting a conversation. This is my opening gambit or statement in a conversation that I want to have with my fellow writers who are looking for ways to promote their book and, you know, who have ideas that I don't know about. I want you to tell me what's working for you, whether we meet at the Imaginarium convention, whether we meet in person at a bookstore, or maybe you could do what I do and write first an article about your experiences with promo and then write a book. It doesn't have to be a big book, you know, it doesn't have to be fancy. Just, you know, put a book out there that I could read that isn't too expensive that I could, you know, and take ideas from you as well. So, again, we're just starting a conversation. And, you know, we're not we shouldn't be competing, I guess is what I'm saying. You know, authors work in isolation a lot, and sometimes we get this silo mentality. You know, I've got good ideas that work for me that may work for you. You have good ideas that may work for me. I think we should be talking.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes,
absolutely. Because I always get...
Go ahead,
Holly.
Oh, I was going to say, we always say be collaborators, you know, not competitors, because the thing is, we can raise each other up. We grow with each other, with the networking, with just sitting and brainstorming ideas. I mean, I don't know how many times just being on the show here, just talking and interviewing people, and we get to, you know, talking about various things, and we've come up with great ideas that people run with it, and it's like, yeah, you know, just sitting and brainstorming with like-minded individuals makes a huge difference, and you can come up with so many cool things that you wouldn't normally thought of just on your own.
Absolutely. So I'm here to learn as much as I am to, you know, to share whatever experience I have. I mean, let's keep the conversation going.
Definitely.
Your techniques are clearly working, though. I mean, I see your presence spreading on the internet all the time, and you know, obviously, you're getting increasing response from readers. That's measurable. You can see that reflected even like I said, on your Amazon page for Fiona's Guardians. And, you know, so, I mean, these are the things that you have put into practice. So that's kind of got to resonate a little stronger with readers when they know that, you walk the walk. you're not just writing about the topic. You're walking exactly what you're discussing in your book. That's got to connect a little stronger.
Well, thanks for noticing that. And that's exactly my philosophy. You know, I want to practice what I preach. So this week I'm doing 7 interviews. You know, that's something I preach in a DIY book promo. I place an importance on getting media interviews because that's an important way for authors to get, you know, speaking on a show like the Star Chamber podcast. This is an extremely important way to get your story out as an author. So I'm grateful that I'm back on. And I encourage other authors to get on shows like this, tell their stories.
And it stays in most podcast situations like ours. I mean, it stays out there. I mean, it can always be streamed and downloaded, even if somebody doesn't for some reason catch the live one. And I all the time when I am excited about an author, new author, I will actually go back and try to find previous interviews and appearances and things like that they've had to learn more about them. So, I agree with you 100%. Yeah, get that media library built up. And you have a keen appreciation for it because you have an extensive background in broadcasting and radio and so forth. So, you definitely have the roots to understand, the importance of it. And conveying that to authors is, I know sometimes a challenge because a lot of them are introverts. I couldn't say how important it, more than you can, how important it is for them to do those media appearances.
Yeah.
And that's a great segue because I was going to ask Dan, since he has the radio experience, could you tell our listening audience what is the best way to approach getting interviewed for like a radio spot?
Okay, yeah, absolutely. So I used to also have an author interview program when I was on NPR station WNIJ in Illinois. And I used to get inundated with pitches. You know, once people knew that I had an interview show for authors, the pitches would come in. And so I would look for pitches that were well organized, that had a good tight subject line, so I knew right away before I opened up that email what is what they write about and what they want to talk about, how they can, you know, help me create a good show, interview program. So I looked for that kind of thing. And I teach in DIY book promo how to write pitch letters to email. I even share a couple of examples of my pitches for this book that I just released. I also teach how to sit in an interview, I give an example of what I used to do to put authors at ease. And early on in the chapter, I give a little trick. I don't want to give it away now, but there's a little trick I used to do to kind of put my guests at ease and get them a little bit out of their head, where they might be worrying, they might be thinking, this is not something I'm comfortable with. Get them comfortable with just a simple little phrase, and then the interview would go very smoothly. They would be relaxed, and they'd actually enjoy talking to me about their book.
Right. Okay. Well, that's some good tips there. Yeah, I think people just have to go for it a lot of times. I know, like Steve said, a lot of authors are introverts, and you got to realize once you write a book, it's not going to sell itself. You do have to be your brand. You do have to get out there and pound the pavement, so to speak. So, you know, you do have to do these things. Now, do you have to show up in person all the time? Not all the time. You can do radio spots. You can do online. You can do podcasts like ours. You know, there's things you can do that you don't have to be in person all the time. You still have to show your face once in a while, you know, to book fairs or book signings and stuff like that. People still like to interact with you. Your readers, they, you know, appreciate that. So I do encourage that. But, yes, I do understand the introverted nature. And, once you're sitting in the dark typing a lot, you know, just typing away, you get used to being by yourself. So I do understand coming out of the shell, but it must be done to win the war, you know.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, as you said earlier, you know, nobody's going to buy your book if they don't know about it. So it is absolutely crucial to be an author in the public sphere. And so, you know, do it for a little while, do it enough to make your publisher happy, you know, or sell some books, you know, whatever, and then tell your story. And then go back to composing your next book if that's where you're most comfortable and you get to it as soon as possible. That's cool. And really, everything we're talking about is customizable for the individual author's goals for their book. What do you want to do with your book? How far do you want to push it out there? How comfortable are you with a long-haul campaign like I had for three years with Fiona's Guardians, where I didn't write much fiction at all, but that served my goal at the time. Because I had one good novel that I really believed in and went all in. Another writer might feel differently. So it's really everything I'm saying, everything I teach in DIY Book Promo can be customized for the author who may have different goals than I do.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. One thing I was going to ask you, though, as far as the live appearances of authors, in your experience, and maybe you cover this in the book, I'll word it like this. When an author appears like you are Saturday, where you are the featured author, like a book signing in a bookstore, or as opposed to the book fair, like that LaGrange Book Fair, where you're one of 60 authors at that particular event. Of the two environments, which do you think is the author should focus more heavily on, or should they balance it in a certain way as far as group events versus individual appearances, and why?
Well, I guess I would say to the authors who are listening, take every invitation you get, whether it's a multi-author event or one where you're the featured author, doesn't matter, because you need these events for a particular reason. So the main reason is once you are booked scheduled at a bookstore or library event, multi-author or not, then you have a news hook, something that you can write to a host or a newspaper editor and say, I'm in your town this weekend or this coming next month, I'm going to be talking about this book, which has a particular interest. Here's why it's interesting. And then the editor or the host will decide then to do an interview with you, hopefully. That's what you're really shooting at when you're scheduling these in-store or library events. So it doesn't matter which one it is, I think. Other writers might say differently. You know, other authors will say, yeah, I've done a lot of bookstore events, and the return on investment, you know, you show up, you sell a couple books, is it worth the time? If you think about it like I do, and say, you know what, getting a media interview because you're going to be in town on a particular weekend is the reason that you get those bookstore events.
That's awesome. Yeah, I was hoping you were going to answer along those lines because, yeah, the appearances open the door to more and as far as media and things like that. And you shouldn't – I see so many authors just get so obsessed with just like how many books they sold and if it covered the cost of that particular day, and they judge it entirely in those terms. It's entirely in a number of sales term, and they don't look at the big picture or the longer lasting seeds that you set when you are able to land media in a town and make an appearance and establish a relationship and get the ball rolling in that area and what that then leads to in the future. It's more of a patient type of long-term approach, but it's one that produces far more results than if you get frustrated because you sold two books and then you never go back and don't do anything else other than that. And I see yeah. that mistake made a lot by authors, frankly.
I do too, and here's another thing. Some of those frustrated or authors are forgetting. Even if you sell a couple of books or even no books at a bookstore event, you still have an opportunity to get your book, you know, in the hands of a smiling bookseller, so you can, you know, take a pic or shoot some video of that, and then that bit of content there is something you could share on social media for as long as you like. You sold two books, but you've got this video, fantastic video of a smiling bookseller holding your book, giving a thumbs up to your title. That is worth it right there too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
absolutely.
I love how you got the picture on the interview you did that you sent me.
Page,
you've got you and Graham McTavish, and where he did the liquor, where he, you know, his whiskey, where he was doing that, and you went, and he's holding your book. I mean, that's genius, you know. Yeah, go
that's
to
awesome.
Clients like that. Get them to hold your book. Give them a copy of your book. You don't know where that can lead. I mean, he's got all kinds of contacts. What if he turns out he loves this book? And he's like, oh, I want to help you produce this. I want to help you make a screenplay. I mean, you don't know. You know what I mean? Unless you get out there and actually be proactive and do these things, you don't know. You never know, you know, how the universe is going to react and what's going to come out of it.
Yeah, you are absolutely right, Holly. And I know you met Graham McTavish as well.
We did.
What I did was I got a hardcover edition of my vampire novel Fiona's Guardians, and I mm-hmm. thought the tie-in would be because Mr. McTavish, in addition to starring in Outlander, he also voices Dracula in Castlevania. So that was my initial thinking for a tie-in, and so I thought I'm going to inscribe, you know, I'm going to autograph the book for him. I'm going to show up and see if I can get him to hold my book for a camera. So I greeted him with the usual praises, said I loved his work, you know, on Outlander and Men in Kilts and Castlevania.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I have a gift for you. Here's my book, vampire novel. And by the way, would you mind, posing for the camera with it? And and as you mentioned, Holly, I was thinking, who knows where this might lead? Nowhere, or it could do something. You know,
that's right. But at least, even the picture itself speaks a thousand words. You know, even it might be 3 years down the road, you might hear something, you know, with a screenplay or something else. But for right now, you've got a damn good picture to promote. You know?
Yeah. Right. It is a good one.
Dan,
really
next summer we'll hear about Dan Klustad going to New Zealand. the next thing we'll get to talk about.
Where's
that'll be awesome.
Kilt? He's going to be a man in a kilt.
I have to say,
ziplining across a canyon, screaming my fool head off.
That's right.
He was nice. Holly and I loved meeting him, and he lit up like a Christmas tree when I told him I was a bourbon connoisseur. So I know I had at least one area of connection with him. but just a super nice guy, and we got a great picture of him and Holly just really good to his fans. I mean, he was definitely a celebrity you can root for sure.
Yeah.
Well,
humble guy.
You got to know this, guys. You got to know this. I do have a bottle of his signed bottle of his McTavish bottle and bond bourbon. I have not opened it yet. This summer, maybe backstage at the Imaginarium, the three of us get together and crack that open.
Oh, huh? Lord. Oh, man.
Oh, yes.
I cannot say no to that. I'll need a drink during that weekend anyway, so that's always a good thing to help me get through the weekend. That's a busy one. Well, I'll take you up on that for sure. But yeah, that was a good experience though with him, and definitely so glad to see that. Yeah, you got the picture that you did, and that's something that does not hurt. Yeah, when people can see somebody that's recognizable like him, with your book, that's awesome.
That helps.
And I mean, it did cost you a thing other than a book. You know what I mean? So yeah.
Absolutely.
It didn't cost anything. So that's what people need to, like you said, throw away the box. Just do things differently. Do stuff you love. Go meet people that you're fans of. Go meet your favorite writers, and just chit-chat with them. And get them to sign your stuff and give them a book of yours. And, it's polite. It helps ruffle their feathers, too. But it also, free promo for you. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you always got to be thinking promo.
And my best story along those lines was, and this goes to, having good relationships with a bookstore, or their marketing person or their events person is, back when, I had an Epic Fantasy, my first in my Epic Fantasy series out, Crown of Vengeance, Brandon Sanderson had come to Joseph Beth and afterwards I did get to meet him and Harriet, and he was signing, for one of the last Jordan books that he had finished for them, and he I got the opportunity where he actually the marketing person, Joseph Beth, actually told Brandon about my book and said they carry it, and they actually ended up giving him a copy of it, and then he actually had me sign it for him there.
Oh, yeah.
So I actually signed a book for Brandon Sanderson, which was a lot of fun. Who knows, it's probably in a box of his somewhere now. But that's the kind of things that happen when you do develop a good relationship with a bookstore. You sometimes get some interesting opportunities like that where you will get to, meet some of the other people they bring in who happen to be, on a larger level, and sometimes leads to a moment like that, which can be pretty cool. But yeah, anything can happen.
So I guess the lesson is, show up. You got to show up first and then make things happen.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Absolutely. Now, shifting gears a little bit from the live side of things, and I do want to get into this, because I see so many authors blow a lot of money in this area, and they get so frustrated when they don't see results from it, and that's the Facebook ads, the Amazon ads, the online platform ads. And I see a lot of authors spend quite a bit on this, and then they get real frustrated when they don't get the sales they think they should on them. And it's definitely a contentious topic to bring up with some, but others do report doing all right with them. Now, how do you approach the world of online ads on platforms? And do you cover that in the book? And what's your take on those? Because that's a whole other sphere of this topic.
So I address some of this in the book. I have never paid for promo. I have never bought a boost on Facebook. I have never bought an ad in a newspaper for my book or an appearance of anything like that. I always depend on, and I teach this in the book, I look for free resources like email, social media, and interviews like this one right here, which are so important to authors. So look for the free resources. I do address websites. That does an author need a website? I understand that there's a debate about that, whether you really need a website. I err on the side that says a website is a good investment for authors who are relatively unknown. So there are free websites out there that you could use to, yep, to build up. Most of the ones I know of, if you have to use their URL and not yourname.com. So that's another thing you want to think about. But some of the expenses that come along for authors who want to promote their work, such as conference admission fees, gas and food when you're traveling, some of these may be tax deductible.
Talk
with your CPA. Talk with your certified public accountant about that to make sure. But, there are ways that you can, offset some of the costs that it takes to promote your book. And, tax deductions are one.
Yes, and that helps when you travel places, too, and you go to a place that you incorporate to some degree in your book and visit. Lots of things can be worked on as far as write-offs. It's one of the few perks and advantages of being an author.
I mean, all kinds of stuff. You go out to eat, you talk about your book, that's a write-off. You send a gas to go somewhere, that's a write-off. I mean, there's so many things. If you find
there's a lot
out what all you
if you're active.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're really active,
and
there's a lot you can write off. So that's something, definitely discuss with your accountant, of course. But this is definitely not we're definitely not tax advisors or financial advisors. There are categories that
yes,
fit.
We're
for sure.
You ask. Yes, ask.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like if Carol goes up to the northeast of the U.S. for a trip. I know she's listening right now, but she can easily get a write off on that for her Nathan Perry mystery series. I mean, with ease because she's got so many locations involved in their book series. So definitely, you can make it work for sure. But it's and I'm glad you do focus on the low cost thing because I just see so many authors burn through more money than they have to spend on some of this stuff, thinking that's the magic pill.
It's a waste. It's a lot of waste of your time. To I know me and Steve we talk about this a lot, but I believe it is a waste of time to do a ton of social media promos anymore. I mean, a few, get you a thing like, what do you use, Steve? The program that'll put it out to many places at once.
I used to use Hootsuite, then they raised the price to an astronomical level. And so now I've had to go back to just simply going to every platform and using 30 tabs on my computer.
If you could find places like Hootsuite that's effective and don't charge, it's good because then you can just blast it out. Now, I will tell you, if I think it's Instagram. Instagram gives you the option to post on Facebook also. So you can you can. I know for a fact because I do my cooking posts. You post it on there and it'll say, do you also want to post on Facebook? Yes. And then that takes care of, kills two birds with one stone.
Doubles up.
Doesn't cost you a thing. Yeah, don't cost you a thing. And then you can go over and post a couple more here or there. But like Dan, like you're saying, a half hour, man, you can burn through a lot of social medias, just post a few things. It doesn't take an hour. You don't have to spend an hour doing promo images and making these elaborate things and all this. No, just a few quick shots, some nice promos, and get them out there. You don't have to spend hours and hours and hours of your day on this.
Unless you're doing
unless
you're doing a Star Chamber show graphic featuring Dan Klefstad, you want to get that to perfection so you spend a few extra hours, and get that just right.
Yeah.
But you're right, and it's a it definitely could suck you down a hole, a time hole for sure.
Yeah,
I mean,
I,
doing
I just don't think it's worth it anymore. I don't see the return. You know, we haven't seen the return investment on paying for Facebook or
no. Oh,
Instagram
God, no,
or
no,
none
no,
of
no.
it for a long time.
No.
I mean, we're just not seeing it anymore.
No,
and
it
I
was
think
awful.
It's because it's so flooded. It's so flooded. And that's why, Dan, I cannot wait to read your book because I love this out-of-the-box mindset, throw it away the box, the whole damn box, mindset, because you do. You have to think more clever because people get tired of seeing you, you know, on Facebook. If that's all you're doing, you're not posting anything, but buy my book, buy my book, buy my book. And,
right,
and that's all you post. You know, they're not, they're just going to scroll. They're not going to pay no attention to you. You've got to post other things. Yes, mention your book. I've got a new release today. I've got, you know, here's my cover release. Here's my, you know, kudos to my editor. Kudos to my cover artist. You know, stuff like that. Give shout outs, whatnot. Show people holding your book. Do different things. But just shooting the same old thing out over and over and over.
Yeah.
People are going to get tired looking at it. And they're going to scroll past. They're not going to pay attention.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you got to create something that's got an interesting hook to it or a little bit of a story to it or something interesting.
Like you said,
yes, cats.
You put a cat
cats.
With
yeah.
a book.
Bookstore cat.
Bookstore cat. There you go.
Yes,
we've got a house full. So,
we got,
you know, we
got,
three
cats everywhere now.
Cats. We got cats everywhere.
Yeah,
I mean.
Yeah, they need to earn their keep. I need to put them to work more on this. Yeah, they need to put them to work. They need to earn their keep.
I'd love to see a photo of DIY book promo next to one of your bookstore, next to one of your cats. I think that would be funny. I want to share that all over.
Done. I'll give you photos with each of the cats. So it makes so obviously
you know,
it shows you that you
all
have multiple cats reading your book. You know.
There you go.
Yeah. All right.
All
I can't wait.
I say we can't put all three together right now because. The little grandkitty that we inherited are not along, so we are working on
avoiding battles right now.
Yes, we have a house divided, and we're working on integrating, but it's a slow process. But
it's
yes,
a pain.
We do. It's quite.
But we can still get photos of all of them. But
oh yes,
but
definitely.
Then,
and,
well, then Dan
and
has
the name.
Well, then Dan
has
an easy marketing angle because DIY book promo will be the number one seller among tuxedo cats, and he could prove it.
Well, he could say.
Well, that's perfect.
Dan, you can
literally
say, Dan can literally say, Queen Victoria, Prince Albert, love my book.
Yes.
Because that's
oh
yes.
my gosh.
Name.
That's their formal name. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Something that has a royal sheen. Something that has a royal sheen to it. Yeah. Now, if we can get
it
both,
that goes viral. Yeah. Watch it go
viral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's possible.
Good
they're good.
They
are good looking cats. Yeah, they are good looking cats. So, yeah.
They are.
Oh, fantastic.
But truthfully. What do you feel about cross promotion, Dan? We use it a lot with other conventions and game stores and stuff like that. What do you feel about authors cross promoting each other?
I think it's great. I mean, you know, it could be two authors in the same genre or related genres that might. Hit more of a specific market. Let's say you've got two vampire writers, horror writers. I think that is a very useful way to partner up and cross-promote. But I'm open to any possible thing. I will try anything and see if it works. You know, I'm that kind of person where I'm looking for opportunities. Not every piece of spaghetti is going to stick to the wall, but I just need a couple to do it. You know?
Yeah.
That's it. That's all it takes.
Agreed.
That's it. That's
now
totally it.
Now, you mentioned websites, and I do like them because they are an online business card. And the other factor about websites is it's a centralized place where you can show all your platforms that you're on social media-wise, so you can always direct people to just one spot instead of having to go down a ginormous list of all the platforms you're on. There's a lot of utility to it. And then you also, if you develop an effective online store for signing books and things like that, it's pretty good for e-commerce. So I personally think that, you know, websites are very valuable, and mostly for the fact that you control it. It's yours. It's not you're not like a Facebook profile. That's not yours. X app profile. That's not yours. You're on their platform. You're on their website is yours. You're not going to get canceled. You're not going to get suspended. You're not going to get anything like that.
Right.
And I think that things like that.
Right.
Things like that are really valuable, and coinciding with that is the email list, the e-newsletter. And I know a lot of authors do like to develop they spend a lot of time developing their email list for that reason, because instead of worrying about an algorithm getting so many people to see your post, and we all know that not everybody sees your post. Even if you have 5,000 followers, you might only have 100 people actually see your post when you put one up, but when you send an email newsletter out, it goes in everybody's inbox. Now, whether they read it or not, don't know for sure. You can get the percentages from, like, if you use like MailChimp, you can see how many people opened it and whatnot. But it's definitely going into their box, their inbox, and it's something that you control. It's something that's you're not going to have the rug pulled out from under you if you build it up and some weird algorithm thinks that you said something that's broke the terms of service and you get suspended. No, it's not going to happen. Not going to happen with an email list. So what do you think about granted, I mean, I know MailChimp and MailerLite, some of those have monthly fees, but then there are others that are don't have to pay for, and you can do some DIY type email lists. What are your feeling on email newsletters and email lists?
Yeah, I think if it serves your goals and maybe you have the money to afford MailChimp, for example, I would say go for it. To be honest, most of the emails I send individually on Gmail. I may paste in a message and then type the subject line myself, upload the photo of my book cover, for example. I do that manually. And I'm not kidding when I say this, because I did this. I just got done sending more than 2,500 emails to bookstores in the last week, 10 days.
Dead.
And I did it individually like that. Individually like that.
Wow.
And this is bookstores in the U.S. and Canada and some in the U.K. I hit every bookstore in the country that sells new books. And it's worth it, because
nice.
All I need is some, small number of photos that come in. The photos that we were talking
right.
about, smiling bookseller, holding your book. If I get a handful of those, it's worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's true.
Well, and it's worth the new readers you pick up, because guess what? When you come out with another book, they're going to be watching you.
That's right. Yeah absolutely. You already started a relationship. When they say, okay, I'm going to order two copies, just a couple of copies is all it takes. Then you get the photo, then
that's
suddenly
true.
You're talking about, you're tagging them, and they know that you're promoting them. Indie authors and indie bookstores, we have the same goals. We're trying to find readers. So, we're natural partners, and we should be partnering up all the time.
True.
Right.
That is so true. 100% agreed.
Yeah.
Now, do you put any of your time into the what big box stores there are, some the Barnes & Nobles that are still around and whatnot, or do you mainly focus strictly on the indie bookstores, the mom-and-pop stores and whatnot?
I will send a handful, maybe a dozen, to Barnes & Nobles within, say, 2 hours' drive of my home. But that's after I reach out to the indie bookstores. I do think, that the supporting an independent bookstore is, so important for the local community, because more of the dollars that customers spend in an independent business, a local business, those dollars are going to stay in the community. So I think about that a lot, too. And I'm not saying that every author should do this. If Amazon is working for you and if the big chains, brick and mortar chains are working for you, go for it. I just find that there's a halo effect with indie bookstores. Even if we don't shop at indie bookstores, everybody likes the idea of them. And so I think some of that halo shine to get on the author if you're constantly promoting indie bookstores.
Yeah, it seems that more of them are opening up too. I mean, we mentioned a few that just opened the last year, from the Ground Up Books, and then of course Fabled Forest Books in Georgetown, Kentucky, and so forth. I mean, yeah, there's been a kind of a surge as we've seen the decline of the big box stores. We've seen a bumper crop of these indie bookstores, and so it seems like it's a good time for you to be out there hitting them, because there's more of them now.
Yeah, we have a brand new one. We have a brand new one that opened after Thanksgiving in Louisville called Foxing Books. They are a brand new bookstore that I am going to walk into very shortly, probably over the next couple of days, and introduce myself, and hopefully I can start a relationship with them as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because they tend to be very involved with the authors that come to visit them and do events in their stores. And, yeah, those are places where you're not going to get lost in the shuffle because you're not a New York Times bestseller. And you're not going to get in that kind of trap.
It's extremely important what you just said there, Stephen, because Barnes & Noble, they have a very important place, for book buyers. But they have local authors that they feature occasionally, and that's great. But indie bookstores are more likely to invite more local authors, into their store. And I think that that's really important.
They are, and I'm also going to tell you something else. And you may not even done this yet, Dan, but I encourage you to do so. We find a lot of our authors, because we are a publishing house too, and we have one of our authors, Rose Machario. She comes up from Tennessee at least a couple times a year. It's Half Price Books. Now we have two here in Lexington, and they both let her set up, and they're great. She does really good there, and she picks up new readers every time, and she also brings other stuff. She makes she'll do tarot readings and stuff like that too. But I mean, she does sell books and she has a good time and does, get introduced to a lot of people, and they put her little picture on the door and everything, and it's really cool. So, I mean, there's also places like Half Price Books. If you haven't tried it, I suggest try it.
I am going to try them. Thank you. Because we have at least one, on my side of Louisville. And Rose, you mentioned, she and I are Facebook friends, so she's been showing up in my feed quite often. So
she's awesome.
Her in person.
She's a go-getter. Yeah, they will not.
They've always been nice. They're accommodating. They're like, you can stay over. We don't care. Because she'll be doing good. She'll be like, do you want me to leave? Because they'll say, they'll block her from like 2 to 5 or whatever. And they'll say, no, you can stay, as long as you want, whatever. They can
That's
be saying,
cool.
They just let you do whatever, you want. I mean, they just give you the run of the show, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah,
huh.
No.
Try that. Thank you.
Yeah, my experience too. From all the people I've seen do events there, they don't even ask a percentage. They let you keep your sales entirely.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
Not
ask
for a penny.
You don't have to give a percentage.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good. Yeah, unfortunately, I mean, obviously they're not set up to stock like new copies of your book on their shelf because of the nature of obviously who they are. Yeah,
right.
So you have to definitely got to bring your own stock. They've got traffic. I mean, you get there on a Saturday, you're going to see a lot of people. And so, I mean, it definitely is an exposure thing.
And
then if you're effective at talking to people, you're going to sell a few copies, So, it's definitely good for promotional reasons. And if you've got a Half Price Books, that gives you the media angle you spoke of earlier. You've got appearance there. You can definitely reach out to some media folks.
Yeah.
So
I am making a note.
I think it's a good place.
This is good. Yeah.
Yeah, and if you do one in Lexington, then you can always catch us with us for a glass of bourbon. So that's another feature.
Okay.
There's one really close to our house. You can come over and even have a glass here. I mean,
here's the trick that's cool. If you time it right, the two of them, if you can go and do the first one late morning to early afternoon, the second one mid afternoon to late afternoon, you can actually do two appearances in one day if you wanted to.
Yes.
Like
one
two 3 hour stints.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They will
work with you to coordinate that.
They
yeah,
sure
at times.
Will.
Yeah, their managers.
Yep. That's
they're
very
cool
encouraging
about that.
To hear that. Yeah, it's very encouraging to hear that a store will do that, a national store. That's really great.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they're a lot
and
of fun.
And they don't normally sell new books, you know, but they love to, they always tell me that they love to promote, you know, local authors, indie authors. They say we love to promote indie authors. It's just not many ask to do them. And, you know, I've never seen a whole lot of them doing them. And
right.
I called one day and I was inquired and I'm like, well, cool. So now we got this good relationship with them. And, yeah, Rose comes up every – she does her own.
Yeah.
She calls them and gets it set up. And I don't even have to mess with it now.
Yeah.
These, you know, they
easy
know
peasy.
Them and they start come on up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That's great.
This is great.
My problem is if I make any book sales there, I'd be tempted to go blow it on vinyl because it's like a tractor beam on me.
Yeah.
I actually made it in there and out. I will say I was proud of myself. Not too long ago, I actually told Holly, I said, I'm going to walk in and out, and I'm not going to spend any money. And I did successfully walk in and out of a half-price bookstore without getting sucked into the vinyl area. So I was proud of myself.
Know,
shows my self-control is getting better.
I had to get my crack, which is bookmark. I collect bookmarks, and I had to get mine. But it only cost me $3, so hey, you know, I walked out okay.
Yeah.
But how do you feel about, like, authors, Dan? I wanted to ask you that. Not just selling books at your table, but having, like, other little things, like bookmarks or other kind of promo materials.
Swag.
Like swag. Or stuff.
Yeah,
swag.
Yeah.
How do you
feel
about swag?
I think that's great. I'm thinking about experimenting with that myself, especially if you have a brand. And then if the swag matches or enhances your brand, absolutely do that. It would be, I think, a good investment to order the hats, the T-shirts, the things that you can hand out, books, bookmarks, etc. I think that is a great thing to have.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too. And there's a lot of places now that do a kind of a turnkey approach, so you can offer like a bit of a merch store, some pretty quality stuff, and not have to front the money for it. I mean, obviously, when you do it that way, the pricing of the T-shirts is going to be a little high, but at least you don't have to go out of pocket to be able to offer like a full color T-shirt of your book cover or something like that. You can have a cotton T-shirt, full color printing, beautiful shirt. At least you don't have to print up like 100 pieces to do that. You know, you can actually just get the account and put it up there. And there's a lot of merch companies, a lot of YouTubers use them for example. A lot of the YouTube merch stores you go to, those are those turnkey kind of companies.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't print that stuff up in advance.
I feel it's also good, though, if you do go to a lot of conventions, and Dan, you can correct me if you think I'm wrong here, but I do like the fact, okay, I'm going to approach it from a reader's perspective, not a publisher, not a writer,
right.
Not like that, just as a reader's perspective, because I've been an avid, lifelong reader, okay, since I can read, and I'm going to be drawn to a table that's going to have cool bookmarks, for one thing, because I'm a bookmark, you know, fanatic, or, you know, shiny things or different stuff that go along with their book. You know, if they're fantasy writers, they have dragon-like charm bookmarks. Because you know people, if they're going to read your fantasy novel, they're going to like dragons, wizards, witches. You know, they're going to like this stuff. If you're into horror, they're going to like, you know, some Jason Voorhees stuff or some, you know, and the stuff that looks like that, you know, different things. And you know, knives with blood or bookmarks or whatever, but you could customize it. You know what I'm saying? I think it draws readers in. That's just my opinion. As a reader, I'm going to be drawn into those tables more than just sitting your books up and that's it. There's nothing else. You know, there's no bookmarks. There's no promo stuff. There's nothing. I'm going to be drawn
to
the tables.
Well, I'll make sure. I'll make sure, Holly, the next time you come to my table, that I'm going to have some stuff to give you, some swag, you know.
I
think it's a great idea, and I support it 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
It can be good. It can be effective,
because we know a few authors that do that, and well, the one I've got several bookmarks from several, but you know, that are like dragons that glow in the dark and different things like that, bookmarks and all this. But I know there's some that do the T-shirts. They'll do, you know, like you said, hats. Demetrius Witherspoon is a genius. If you haven't met Demetrius, Dan, remind
I'm
me in
sure
Imagineering this year. I will introduce you because that man is a master at marketing.
He's on next
product.
Week. He's on our
okay.
show next week.
Well,
he's actually on the show
Dan,
next week.
I'm telling
yeah.
you. This man
has
lunch boxes.
Unbelievable.
He has a comic book.
Funko Pop dolls. Action
films.
Figures.
He has Funko Pop.
Collectible
wow.
card games.
I mean,
it's insane.
Cool.
Shirts, you name
yeah.
it, he's got it. And he's a master at
oh,
this
yeah.
stuff. And it
oh,
makes
yeah.
his table so interesting. And everybody stops, you know, because it just draws you right in. Because he's
That's
got all
fantastic.
The
oh, yeah.
stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Well,
marketing promo.
Yep.
Well,
yeah.
I am going to. I've been taking notes here, so I am definitely going to build out my swag table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We'll have to
yeah.
ask him about cool. that next week. Yeah, we'll definitely.
Yeah.
When he's on the show, we'll see what he's got in store for 2024. But he's always up to something.
He's always upset.
Always.
Me and him never did a good art cologne. I was going to get some kind of perfume going
yeah,
with him.
Yeah, even has his own fragrance line.
Yeah,
all kinds
I need
of stuff.
To get
yeah.
some kind of essential oil mix with him.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's fun. But,
so,
yeah,
but
I do
yeah,
believe
he's...
in swag. I do. Pencils, magnets.
Yeah.
Magnets are big. My fridge is full of magnets.
oh, yeah.
If it's
okay.
got a magnet, it's going on my fridge. And then I'll see
yeah.
the books. I see it all the time. People, you're in and out of the fridge. Other people, in and out of our fridge. They're like, ooh, who's this? Ooh, that book looks good. You know, I mean, seriously, it's on my fridge.
Yeah,
it's just simple
yeah.
things like that. I mean, just crazy simple things. Car magnets, car
I
bumper
it.
Stickers.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the simple things.
Yeah, we'll get a Cricut machine maybe and make a decal
oh,
Dan
no.
to put on the bourbon cabinet. So every time I go get a bourbon, I'll see Dan when I open up to
I
get a glass
never
of bourbon.
I would never get
imaginary
programming done if I had a Cricut. Let me tell you.
Yeah. And so every time you have a hangover, you'll remember me. Oh,
yes.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have a backlash there.
I don't, but I don't. But hey, I don't do that though. Yeah, I don't get that bad. So yes.
Okay.
There's a new thing called water. It's your friend.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Always,
yeah. I hear you. Yeah.
Yeah. Drink lots of water.
Water.
Yes. If you're a bourbon connoisseur. Yes. But that,
there
you'll
we
never
are.
Have
yeah.
trouble. Never. That's a
that's
pro
free.
Tip for free. You'll never have trouble. You feel just
okay.
peachy keen in the morning.
Well, since,
but
since we have talked about all this marketing stuff, I did want to hit some hot topics that Dan did ask to talk about. I did want to talk about Dan, let's go to the writing side briefly and talk about some of your early inspirations. What made you want to write prose?
Well, I my first novel that I tried to write, I did actually get 200 pages of manuscript, typed double space and everything. I was 16 when I wrote my first spy novel, and it
what?
Was just horrible. You know, I read some pages recently and I thought, oh my goodness. But my mother encouraged me to keep writing. She said, it's not too bad. You know, you may have a kernel of something in here. So I've been writing prose ever since I was a teenager, and in more recent years, I've started to get more prolific and write stuff that that met my standard of what prose should be. So when Fiona's Guardians came out in 2020, I knew I had finally a good book, something that I really that needed as big a readership as possible. But yeah, I mean, I have ideas about, you know, how to compose and I don't worry about things like just sticking to a schedule. I write when the book is ready to come out, when the story is ready to come out. And for me, fiction has always been harder. Fiction has always been a deeper dive for me. It requires ideas and feelings to marinate for a long time. And then when I'm ready, I'll apply heat and get the story out there.
Nice. Nice. A cooking metaphor.
Yeah.
That is awesome. That's awesome.
Like,
yeah, I was going to say, that's right up your alley, Holly.
That's right up your alley.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, for
let
sure.
me ask you quickly, Dan, what is your routine? Everybody has, they seem to have like a routine. Steven is listening to heavy metal, going to his own little writing room. I don't even go in there. It's like he's like a little cave troll in there. And you only peek your head in at your own rip. Yeah, I don't
yeah,
bother
I write.
Unless the house is like on fire or, somebody's dying.
Now, I write, in the morning, usually after some coffee. I need coffee to focus. And then it might be an article that I'm working on. Articles are fairly easy for me. I have an idea. I can kind of build around that and get it out and get it published fairly quickly. We mentioned fiction. But a lot of times, lately it's been pitch emails to bookstores, to bloggers, to reviewers, to media, and I do take comfort in knowing that that's writing as well. It's a very clever kind of attention-getting writing. So that's it depends on the day. I do wake up and say to myself, okay, what are we doing today? Are we composing our next novel? Are we should I write half price books and pitch my book to them, or pitch an event with them, or should I, do something else? Write a poem, which I don't write very much. Try that. So I'm always writing something. Hopefully one day, and I intend by late spring to have the sequel to Fiona's Guardians completed, a manuscript that I could then send to my publisher.
Cool.
Nice.
And then you have to come back when it's ready to come out. We have to talk about that.
Yeah. Oh,
oh
yeah. I can't wait. Yeah.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have you back for that for sure. It's that sounds cool. I like the way you approach things. And we'll have to get Dan on the haiku contest at King Oscar so he can get some awards.
Me and Steve are award-winning haiku fish slamming poets,
we've placed in their
like
competition
really
a few times. Yeah, we came in
fantastic.
Second.
Got all kinds of
yeah.
Oh wow! I got to come and see these. What bar or where do you guys meet to do this?
We'll show. It's on King Oscar's social media. Yeah, we'll show you.
Okay.
We'll send you a ton. That is fun. They have
they're
the best social
Norway.
Media people ever. Yeah.
They're,
Norwegian
they're
fan
Norway,
fish company.
And their
yep.
U.S. social media company is in San Francisco. They know us by name. If they write Stephen, they'll say, "How's Holly?" They write me. They actually ask, "How's Stephen?" It's hilarious. It's mind-boggling. They actually write us on Facebook because we are so chatty with them. It's hysterical.
Yeah. I love their product, though. But I love their product. I get their stuff all the time. I love it.
But you know what? Dan has made me think we could have been using this. You could put one of your books by can of King Oscar.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
See, Dan's
making an idea.
Dan is getting us to think. I love it.
Yes.
Because I genuinely love their product. Yeah.
Oh, working the angles here. thinking about it. Yeah.
Put Days of Darkness next to a can of their new salmon. Oh, God, that'd be hilarious. They actually posted that.
That could be
man.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah, that'd be it. Yeah.
Well,
but,
I want to ask Dan. I want to ask Dan because I know he wants to talk about this too. There's a lot of authors I've heard. I've heard authors say there is no such thing as writer's block. It's you're getting in your own way. And then I've heard authors say there is, in fact, writer's block, which I do suffer. I have ADHD. I am all over the place. I have 30,000 squirrels running in my head at all times. Stephen knows this. I constantly have 30 tabs open. You know, I'm here, they're there, they're everywhere. It seems like he's like, Holly, I can only do one thing at a time. What? And he gets irritated with me because, you know, I'm all like, I do six at once. When it gets close to imaginary, I have three computers going. I'm sitting there going, I'm all over. And that's how I function. That's just, you know, chaos is my what I thrive on. So I get it. But I have writer's block, something terrible. That's why I've never been published. I'm an editor. I'm a closet writer, I call myself. I am actually an award-winning poet, but, you know, I've never actually published because of the fact I can't sit down and get the squirrels to actually start running. But writer's block.
I have thoughts
about that. Do you believe it is a real thing, and how do you overcome it?
Well, I believe it. To me, writer's block is nature's way of telling you you should be doing something else for a while. So go out and take a walk, you know, get into nature again, you know, look at, you know, just sit by a tree and read something or go out and shop for a book or go out and try a new recipe, get ingredients for a new recipe and learn that. Just get out of your head for a little bit, change your perspective, and then come back when you're ready and try composing again. It sometimes takes a couple of days. Whatever, it takes as long as it takes, you know, because you're sitting there at your laptop, beating yourself in the head, trying to, you know, finish a chapter or something like that. It's not going to work until you're ready.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe forcing it's not going to come out good. Activity is not going to be good. It's better if you step away. Do something else, like you're saying. Clear your mind. Meditate. Do whatever you have to do. That's going to clear your mind. Then come back to it. You know, go out on your back deck, read a book like we do. Have a drink. You know, whatever relaxes you, clears your mind, and you get your head completely out of that headspace. Then come back fresh, renewed, and ready to go. And you'll be surprised at what pops in then.
Yeah, because you now have a different perspective. You're walking back. You're going to notice something that you wrote a little while ago, you know, a few paragraphs earlier, and you're going to say, oh, that's the jumping off point for this thought. This is where we need to take the story now. That sort of thing. It's like looking at a painting and you're getting stuck, you know, that way. When you step away from it and return, you're going to see something different in that painting.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. I agree. And I actually do try to do that. I try to step out and, read for a little bit and stuff if I'm feeling a little stale or whatever.
But
definitely helps to get freshened up. Now, I want to give you a chance to, give folks info on where to get DIY book promo, definitely, and also, of course, your links for you and platforms that you're active on.
Okay, well, I'm on all the socials, you know, Facebook, Instagram, X, LinkedIn. So for the website, these days I'm using DIYBookPromo.com. Amazingly, this URL was available in November when I reserved it.
That's awesome.
So I jumped on it. reserved it for a few years, and so you'll find me at DIYBookPromo.com that explains what this is about the book and the presentations that I give in person or virtually on this topic. Let's see. We mentioned that I'll be at From the Ground Up Books in downtown LaGrange
yes.
Saturday from noon to 3. And I'm planning to be at other bookstores soon. I've got a lot of irons in the fire right now, and we're kind of firming these things up. But of course you can get my book, DIY Book Promo, at all the online retailers. But if you're lucky enough to have an independent bookstore in your, within an easy drive, I would encourage you to order it from that shop. They'll get it to you within a few days. And, of course, while you're there, you can have a coffee and browse their shelves.
Or wine.
So,
or wine. The lovely one in Georgetown, you can have wine.
Bobby at Fabled Forest? Yeah.
Bobby at Fabled Forest. Yes.
Exactly. And congrats again on the new book hitting getting a number one new release, Orange Flag, on Amazon. That is pretty cool. That's really
thank
cool.
Thank you. Yeah, I was surprised to see it so fast. I was like, "Woo, okay, that's cool." Well, I guess. Well, another thing to trumpet, So get out there and promote it. You never stop. Never stop.
That's right.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt. And that tag stays right there on your page, when you get one of those. So that's a real nice thing. So congratulations on that. And looking very much forward to seeing you this summer. I hope to catch up with you sooner than that. We would have been able to come out possibly the Saturday, but with all the maelstrom with the COVID, Holly has been delayed.
Yeah.
Taking care of her mother in Indiana, so she has to go back to Indiana this weekend. So I'll be vehicle-less while she's gone. So, it's just a perfect storm conspiring to keep us away from seeing you. But that being said, we hope to catch up with you sooner or later.
We'll definitely see
each
other. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe get that half-price books thing set up, and then, we'll easily be able to catch you. That'll be awesome.
Yeah, I look forward to meeting both of you.
Oh, it's gonna be great. You're awesome. Definitely rooting for you all the way, and I'll let Holly close it out with you. But thanks for being on the show, Dan. It's been fantastic conversation.
Thank you, Stephen. Great talking with you.
Thank you,
right,
Dan,
Holly.
For coming on and offering all your advice and,
thank you so
and
much.
Tips
yeah.
and tricks. Heck yeah, we're gonna be using a lot of these.
I just wanted to say, Holly, thanks so much for joining us and having me on the show. Looking forward to meeting you as well, and. I know we interact a lot on social media, too, so those are always fun fun times.
Yes. I post a lot of fun stuff.
If
I don't, Stephen can tell you, believe it or not, people know.
She has complained.
I have COPD and a plethora of other things. So, the grandkids, we have three of the oldest that live with us. So they bring me home, any kind of respiratory thing. I have COPD, so here we go. And this time we happen to get COVID. So, we've been down. But I still try to post because if I don't, people think I'm dead. And then I start getting all these texts. They're like, Holly, where's your motivational post? Where's your funny post? We look forward to these. And I'm like, oh, geez.
You're
okay.
Our leader, Holly. Don't abandon us.
<That's right. laughs> They think I'm dead, But I do try to brighten everybody's day. And I think, that's what we all strive for in the end. And
right.
Promotion. But, you got to get out there and not just say, hey, buy my book, like you're saying, you've got to be creative, and you've got to draw people in, and post other things, too. So, that's clever. But, thank you so much for joining us, and I wish you the best luck on this new book. I hope it stays at number one for a very long time, and I hope it's a New York Times bestseller, and I think that it has definitely the possibility to be.
Well, thank you very much for your confidence in me. And, now fortified with that, I will go forth and continue doing the good work of, you know, doing the promotional work that we all should be doing, you know. So, yeah.
That's right.
You got it.
That's right. And we will be in touch and talk soon, and I hope to see you here in Lexington, and join us at our lovely half-price books. We have two, and they're great, and, let us know.
I will do that, and I look forward to meeting two people in real life. So.
Yes.
Yes, no
absolutely.
Kidding, right?
All right.
Thank
take care,
Dan. Dan. And
all right, you take care. All right, hope you feel.
You too, hon. Join us
all right,
next
take
Wednesday.
Care. I hope you feel better.
All
okay.
right, well, thank you,
bye-bye.
Sweetie. All right, talk
okay.
to you later. Bye-bye.
Take care now. All right, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, hon. Next Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, another great show, another great guest, another great talk. We hope to inspire and encourage and network and be creative for the rest of the week. Have a great weekend. Good night.
That was good.